All right, we'll say good morning. Let's be with a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Daf Yud and Maseches Makos. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Yonah and Shushi Ehrenfeld in memory of Yonah's grandfather, Reb Gedalia Ben Yaakov HaKohen. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his Nesham will have an aliyah and the family a Nechama. So we'll say, let's begin. So we spoke out yesterday the Mishnah, which now introduced us to the concept of the Arei Miklat, the cities of refuge. So we've always been speaking this entire time regarding the person who kills B'shogeg. Now we're speaking about the framework, the citywide or multiple citywide framework, ultimately to secure that individual. So, okay, I still owe you the Rambam on Sone, which Amir Hashem, if we have time, we're going to come back to today. A lot to do. So, says the Gemara, we're picking up on. So, today's daf is Yud 10. We're picking up Testament Days 9b, and we're picking up three, by the Gemara, seven lines up from the bottom. Ten Rabbanan. Shalosh Arim Hivdil Moshe Be'ivra Hayardin, Ukenegdan Hivdil Yoshua Be'eretz Kinan. Moshe Rabbeinu set up, established three cities in the Transjordanian lands, Eivor Yarden, and Yoshua set up three cities in Eretz Canaan. Umechuvanos hayu kamin shtei shuros shebekerem. And I will say the cities, the Transjordanian cities, and the Eretz Yisrael cities were opposite each other, were aligned in straight lines, just like a vineyard. Just like a vineyard. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara gives the examples. He says, Chevron b'Yehuda kineged Betzer b'Midbar. Chevron in Yehuda, in Eretz Yisrael, corresponded to Betzer in the desert. Shechem b'Har Ephraim kineged Ramos b'Gilad. So Ramos b'Gilad, excuse me, Shechem, in the mountains of Har Ephraim, were ultimately situated across from Ramot in the Gilad. Kedesh Bahar Naphtali, Kenegan Golan Babashan. And Kedesh in the mountains of Naphtali was opposite again Golan Babashan. Okay. Ushloshesh, Sumar says Vishilashta, and the Mardash is what's me Vishilashta, Shiyu Mishulashan. He'll say that when arranging the Arei Miklat, you have to arrange it in the following way. Shihemi Darum Lechevron, Kimi Chevron Lishchem. Umichevron l'shchem kimishchem l'kedesh, umishchem l'kedesh kimikedesh l'tzafon. We'll say the idea is that the Arei Miklat must be equidistant from one another. They must be equidistant. Be'ivra hayarden, tlas, be'eretz Yisrael tlas. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara says, how could it be that Eivor l'yarden gets three and yet Eretz Yisrael also gets three? Obviously, Eretz Yisrael proper, I will say, is much larger than the Transjordanian areas. Yet, why would it be that all of Eretz Yisrael gets three, though we're going to see Eretz Yisrael has much more than three? But how could we say that Eretz Yisrael has three and the Transjordanian area has three also? Meaning, why would such a small area ultimately, again, only have three? To which the Gemara says, excuse me, why would such a small area have so many, have three? Amar Abaye b'Gilad Shchichi Rotzim. Well, this is actually quite dramatic, that in Gilad, in the Transjordanian area, there were a lot of Rotzim, there were a lot of murders. A lot of murders. So the chsiv, because the pasuk says, Gilad Kiryas Paul the oven, Akuva Midam. So we'll say the pasuk in Hosea says that literally Gilad, the Transjordanian areas, Kiryas Paul the oven, literally is a gathering place for those who engage in sinful behavior. Akuva Midam, Akuva Midam. Am Rebbe Lazar, Shayu Okvin Laharog Nefashos. They would conspire ultimately to go ahead and kill people. So the Gemara says, Umaish, so we'll say, first of all, just an interesting point over here. So the Mashar raises this question. The Mashar says, 1 second, so you're telling me that in Gilad, they had a lot of murderers. A lot of murderers, like a lot of evil people. And that's why you had more Arei Miklat, you had three Arei Miklat in the Gilad, ultimately again, whereas three in all of Eretz Yisrael. So we'll say, so what's the Pshat? But again, remember, Arei Miklat are for who? For people who kill accidentally. So you're telling me there's a lot of intentional murderers, ultimately, again, in Gilad. What does that do with Arei Miklat? And the Marashah says something amazing. The Marashah says, I will say, because where there is a lot of bloodshed, and we can relate to this societally, unfortunately, where there is a lot of bloodshed, there becomes a general desensitization to the value of an individual life. So therefore, again, Chazal automatically, Chazal understood that wherever you have a higher murder rate, you have higher accidental murder rate as well. It's just a general lack of sensitivity and a general lack of care and concern towards the value of human life. An incredible, incredible Gemara. So the Gemara goes weiter. Umeishna mehaigisa, umehaigisa, demirachki. Umeishna mitziyai, demikarbi. So we'll say, why is it, if you look at the map of Eretz Yisrael and see the way the Arei Miklat are created, on the north and the south of the country, they're very far from one another. In the center, they're clustered. So what's the reason for that? Because it also says Shechem, which is in the center of the country, also has a lot of murderers. And because of that, again, they needed more Arei Miklat there, Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says over here, Ukechake ish gidudim, Chever Kohanim Derech Yiratzchu Shchema Kizima Asu. What does this mean? My Chever Kohanim. We'll say, why does it compare the people of Shchem to a group of Kohanim? Amar Belazar, Shei Mischabrim Laharog Nefashos, Kekonim Halalu Shei Mischabrim Lachlok Tshumos Ubeis Agranos. Because we'll say, the people in Shchem are just like Kohanim get together in the threshing floor to claim their trumos and maestros, or to claim their trumos, I should say, so too the people of Shechem would often gather together and conspire to engage in acts of bloodshed. Vesulaka, the Bosei, the Gemara makes it sound like over here, that there are only six cities of refuge, three in the Transjordanian lands, three in Eretz Yisrael proper, but is that true? V'haksid, the Bosei, the Pasuk says, Va'alehem titnu arboim ushtayim ir. Yet the Bosei, again, the Pasuk says, that you shall literally, this is talking about the, we'll say, the Arei Halevim. This is talking about the 42 cities that were given. Remember again, Shevet Levi has no Nachal on Eretz Yisrael, has no portion. So where does Shevet Levi live? They were given 42 cities. So the Gemara also understands over here that the 42 cities, the Arei Levim, were also Arei Miklat, were also cities of refuge. So we'll say, so there aren't six cities of refuge, there are 48 cities of refuge. Amar Abaye, so why is it that we just speak about six cities of refuge? Amar Abaye, halalu koltos bein ladas bein shalol ladas, halalu ladas koltos shalol ladas bein koltos. This is actually quite fascinating. The six cities have the ability to provide security, safety and security for the accidental killer, whether he is aware that he's standing in an ir miklat or not. The 42 Arei Levim have the ability to provide safety and security. We'll say, only what? Only if the accidental killer knows that he's standing in an ir miklat. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Bein ladas, bein shalol ladas. Bein shebarach sham ladas klita. Bein shalol barach sham shalol ladas klita. Shalol hayu yodea shi koletas. So we'll say, this is actually quite amazing. The six, we'll call it the six biblical Arei Miklat, provide refuge whether the accidental killer knows that he's standing in an ir miklat or not. The 42 Arei Levim only afford security if what? If you're aware that you're standing in an ir miklat and that the ir miklat provides you with security. Also, I'll just share with you something amazing. Just about, there's so much to say on these Gemaras, but I've said this actually before, but it's actually on this Gemara. The Oyev Yisrael, the Abderav. So first of all, you understand what it means to be called the Ohev Yisrael. I mean, it happened to be the name of the Sefer, but you understand what it means. The Abderav of the Ohev Yisrael, who was one of the ranking Hasidic Rebbes of his time, says something amazing. He says, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose six as the number for the Arei Miklat? Just very quickly, he says, Hin Keneged Shisha Tevos Sheyesh BePasuk Shema Yisrael. We'll say Shema Yisrael, ultimately, Shema Yisrael Shema Kino Hashem Echad, has six words. The six words of Shema Yisrael correspond to the six Arei Miklat. Shem Kolten Bein Ladas Bein Shelo Ladas. We'll say the Abderav goes on to say so beautifully that Shema Yisrael Shem Elokim Hashem Echad is an Ir Miklat. What does that mean? That we'll say there is no greater refuge and there is no greater safety and security in life, ultimately, again, than a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person lives a life of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, a person has a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a beautiful, passionate give and take with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I will say, that's the Ir Miklat. That's the city of refuge for the Jew. And the Ohev Yisrael says, the same way that the six Arei Miklat are kultos, Bein right, Ladas and Shalol Ladas, they offer security, whether you're aware of it or not. And we'll say, sometimes, if you just put in the effort to create a beautiful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that relationship is there even in times when I am not spiritually strong. That relationship is there even in times when I am spiritually compromised. The six Arei Miklat always provide safety and security. The greatest Ir Miklat, says the Ohev Yisrael, is not a city. The greatest Ir Miklat for the Jew is his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Magnificent idea. The Chevron Ir Miklatu. So say the Gemara says, the Pasuk says that Chevron was an Ir Miklat. Vaksiv, but is that true? Vaksiv. Vayitnu lekalev es Chevron kasher diber Moshe. We'll say, but one second. Chevron was given to Kalev. Right? Remember again, Chevron was one of the gifts given to Kalev for the fact that he did not participate in the Chet Meraglim. So how can you call it an Ir Miklat? To which the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Parvada. Kalev was given, I will say, the Parvada. Parvada means Kalev wasn't given Chevron proper, right? Chevron proper, as we're going to see, was in fact an Ir Miklat. Kalev was given the surrounding villages and fields around Chevron. Those became his. And Joel said, by the way, the notion, Dixiv, let me just read the buzz of Dixiv, Ves Sedea Ir Ves Chatzereha, Nosno Lekalev Ben Yifuna. So we'll say, so Chevron itself was an Ir Miklat. The surrounding fields and small villages around Hebron, that's what was given ultimately again to Kalev. But I will say the notion that Hebron, which is of course again the home of Maras HaMachpelah, the burial place of the Avos HaNimos, that it's an Ir Miklat, is an incredible Yisod as well. That where your parents are, right, where the Avos HaNimos are buried, that's the city of refuge, Shukla Yisrael, something quite beautiful. The Kedesh, Ir Miklat Havi. So what we'll Gemara says, is that true that Kedesh was one of the Ari Miklat? V'haksiv, but we learn, V'ari Miftzar, Hatzadim, Tsar, V'chamas, Rekes, V'kineres, the Kedesh ve'edrei ve'in chatzor. So what's the Vitanya? So what's the pasuk over here? So Ari Miftzar. Ari Miftzar means fortified cities. So among the list of fortified cities, Kedesh is in there. And we'll say, what's the chap with fortified cities? Vitanya. Arim halalu ein osin osan. I will say when it comes to arim miklat, so an ir miklat had to satisfy certain criteria. What were the criteria? I will say it's actually really quite amazing. Ein osin osan lo tirin kitanim. I will say you can't make small villages into arim miklat. Now we'll discuss why. Rashi already tells us because we're concerned there's not enough provisions there. But we'll get into this. V'lo krachim gidolim. You also can't make large cities into Ari Miklat. Rashi says, why not? V'lo krachim gidolim, shakol mikbatzim sham tamid, v'yiregel go'al adam mitzuyah sham v'yerav lo. We're nervous, we'll say that if the city is too large, so remember again, in a smaller city, everybody knows each other. Which means that if one day the go'al adam, the avenger of blood, who is the relative of the person who was killed, shows up in the city, everyone knows he's there, and they could warn the accidental killer, and also potentially get the Gol Adam out of the city. If the city is very large, he could blend in with the masses. Be'ela ayaros beinonios. Rather, I will say, for Ari Miklat, we go ahead and we use middle-of-the-road cities. Not too small, not too big. And I will say, what did the Gemara just say? The Gemara said that Kedesh was one of the fortified larger cities. So how, if Kedesh is one of the larger fortified cities, then how can you say that Kedesh was an Ir Miklat? To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, we'll say first of the intermediate, well actually first wide line, Amar Rav Yosef, Tarti Kadesh Kedesh Havi. Rav Yosef gives a simple answer. There are two places named Kedesh. One of them was a larger city, one of them was a smaller city. Amar Rav Ashi, Kigon Silkum, V'akra de Silkum. Just like Rav Yosef said, there was a city called Silkum, and there was a village of Silkum. So to Rav Yosef over here, there was a Kedesh, a large Kedesh, and a smaller Kedesh. It is the smaller, non-fortified city Kedesh that is the Ir Miklat. Gufa. Well, so let's go back and learn what we said before. Arim halalu. So also when it comes to Arim Miklat, here is the criteria. Get ready for this. We'll say first wide line of the widest lines. Arim halalu. Ein osin osan lo tirin kitanim. You cannot go ahead and use small villages. V'lo krachim gidol. Nor can you use large cities. Ela ayaros beinonios. Rather, I will say you use middle-sized cities. So again, the reason for that, I will say, is as we said before, you can't use small cities because as we're going to see, an Ir Miklat has to be a self-sufficient city. Has to be able to have enough provisions to provide for the residents. Can't be too, and therefore again, and for reasons we'll discuss, can't be too large because then we're afraid the Gol Adam could just mingle in. So rather again, middle of the road cities. Ve'im Moshiv and Osan Ella B'makom Mayim. I will say furthermore again, we only make an Ir Miklat by a place where there is a natural water source. Ve'im Shamayim, but if there's no natural water source, Mevir Lahem Mayim. We create channels from a larger water source to channel water into the Ir Miklat. Ve'in Moshivin Osan. So we'll say Ve'in Moshivin Osan. Furthermore, we don't situate in the Ir Miklat. Ela b'makom shukim. We'll say the Ir Miklat also has to have its own marketplaces. Ve'in Moshivin Osan. Ela b'makom uchlisin. We'll say furthermore again, there have to be population centers. Nisma to uchlisin. If the population center is diminished, Mosifin Alehen. Ultimately, again, we go ahead and we resettle people there. Nisma'atu Diurehen. If the residents of the city itself diminished, then Mevi'im Lahem Kohanim, Levi'im V'Yisraelim. We resettle other people in the city. Vein Mochrin Bahen. So we'll say, just to understand, the logic over here is, we want the Ir Miklat to be a self-sufficient city. So remember again, we don't want it to be too large because you don't want the Goel Adam to be able to come and blend in. We don't want it to be too small because if it's too small, it doesn't have the necessary provisions. We want it to have its own infrastructure. Why? Because this way, the accidental killer does not have to leave the city for anything. It has all the stores, it has all the infrastructure, it has food, it has water. Therefore, anything and everything you need, you have in the city. Therefore, again, the person who killed Beshogeg need not leave at all. So the Gemara goes weiter. They mochen bahen lo klei zayin. It was said, we don't sell weaponry in an ir miklat, velo klei mitzuda, nor do we sell traps in an ir miklat. So I'll say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, it's the last Rashi on the right-hand side, Klei Zayin, Shelo Yikna Goal Hadam Sham Zayin, V'yarok Shelo Yavi Klei Zayin M'komo Yargish. We're supposed to listen to this. Again, this is all about being worried that the Goal Hadam is going to sneak into the city, and if he can get weaponry in the ir miklat, then ultimately, again, he could come and he could kill the accidental killer. If Lamais, again, they don't sell weaponry in the ir miklat, and he has to bring in his own weaponry, that'll be a little bit more noticeable. And once it's more noticeable, again, we could stop him before he carries out an act of bloodshed. Since again, no traps, Rashi says, af bahen horgin chayos, because also these could also be used as weapons. The Chacham say, no, it's permitted, that you could sell, ultimately, again, weapons, and you could sell clay mitzuda also in the ir miklat. The Shavin, and both say they both agree, Shein parson b'socha mitzudos. They both say in the ir miklat itself, you cannot go ahead and lay traps. Meaning, hunters aren't permitted to lay traps. We'll say, now, why is that? So the idea behind that is that wherever you're allowed to lay traps, that attracts a lot of people. We want to minimize the people traffic in an ir miklat to the residents. This way, everybody knows each other, and they can recognize when strangers come. We do not, Rabbos, say, allow people to do like a rope business, tying ropes, because apparently, again, this also attracts a lot of people, and therefore, again, we don't want to attract unnecessary pedestrian traffic to the ir miklat. In order that the Goel Adam should not come to this city. Amr Rav Yitzchak, so we'll say, what's the pasuk? Mikra. In other words, the Gemara says Mikra. What the Gemara is asking over here is, how do we know that the ir miklat is supposed to be self-sufficient? From where do we know that? So the pasuk says, V'gam el achos min ha'arim ha'el v'chai. Both say the pasuk says that the accidental killer will flee to one of these cities, v'chai, and he will live. Avid le midi detehevi lechiyusa. Do for the accidental killer something that will provide him with life. So the idea over here is not just sustain his life, not just keep him alive, but ultimately make sure you give him whatever he needs in the city in order to stay alive. Tana, so I'll say, listen, these gemaras are amazing. Talmid shagala, we'll say, if a student kills accidentally and is therefore exiled, listen to this, Megalin Rabo Imo. We exile his Rebbe along with him. Why? Shenemar V'chai. We'll say, listen to this, because in the ir miklat, you have to have everything there for you to live. We'll say, so the same way you have to have food and you have to have water, you have to have your Rebbe who gives you Torah. V'chai, avid le'midit etehevi le'chiyusa. Right, make sure to give him everything he needs, ultimately, again, to be sustained and to live, which, of course, also includes his Torah. So Talmud commits an accidental act of bloodshed, Rebbe goes with him to Galus. Am Rabbi Zira, so Rabbi Zira says, we learn a very important lesson from here. Mikan shalo yeshana adam l'talmud she'ino hogam. I will say, from here we learn, is be careful who you let into the shir, right? Because lemaisa again, if you end up becoming a rebbe to unscrupulous individuals, and they end up committing an act of bloodshed, so the rebbe ultimately again is impacted by this as well. So a very dramatic gemara. So the gemara goes back to Amar Rabbi Yochanan, harav shegala. Similarly, again, I will say, if the rebbe, in this case, is probably much more like a rashi shiva. If the rashi shiva goes to galus, then megalin yeshiva so imo. His yeshiva goes with him as well. So the Gemara says, is that true? So the Gemara says, Ini v'ham Rabbi Yochanan, minayin l'divrei Torah shein kolten. Now the assumption is, if somebody is a Rebbe, somebody's a Rosh Yeshiva, somebody's learning Torah, Torah protects a person. Torah protects you. So the Ma'aseh again, so how could it be that the Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva, is being exiled? Shouldn't his Torah have protected him? So the Gemara says, Minayin de Vitor Shein Colton. How do you know that words of Torah protect? Shenemar es betzer b'midbar uksib basrei v'zos haTorah. Ultimately, again, just like betzer in the midbar was an ir miklot, so too v'zos haTorah. The Torah also acts as an ir miklot. Lo kasha. We'll say it's not a contradiction. Habeina da asikba. Habeina da lo asikba. We'll say Torah protects you when you're learning it. But when you're not learning it, ultimately, again, Torah does not protect you in the same way. Vibay sema, my culture. Most of the other possibilities, what does it mean when we say that Torah protects you? Torah protects you in Malach HaMavis. We'll say Torah doesn't necessarily protect you from everything, but it does protect you from the Malach HaMavis. What happened to Malach? Giyad Rav Chista. We'll say, listen to this, Maisa. Because just like the episode of Rav Chista, what happened to Rav Chista? Havi Yosef Vigaris Bebei Rav. We'll say, Rav Chista was sitting and learning Torah in the base medrash of Rav, and what happens? V'lo havaka yachal shlicha demalka demosav lemikra legabe. The Malach HaMavis was unable to get next to him because, again, Rav Chista was learning Torah the entire time. The Malach HaMavis cannot take him. V'lo havashasek pumei migirsa. He wouldn't stop learning. So what did the Malach HaMavis do? Salik v'yasev ha'arza debei Rav. So the Malach HaMavis sat outside of the base medrash on a cedar tree, and what happened? Paka arza, the cedar tree split. Vishasik, and in that moment again when there was a noise, so Rav Chista was startled. He stopped learning for just a moment. He was quiet, and in that moment of Osai Viyachile, the Malach HaMavis was able to go ahead and claim his life. So it could very well be that when it says that Torah's koletas, that Lav Dafka, the Torah protects you from everything, but rather again, Torah protects you from the Malach HaMavis. Amrei Tanchum, Barchani Loi, Mipnei Ma Zachar Ruvein Lehi, Manas Batzal Tchila. We'll say, why is it that Ruvein, when it comes to the Ari Miklat, so the Ir Miklat, the Ari Miklat in the tribal portion of Ruvein are mentioned first. Why is it that Ruvein ultimately, again, is mentioned first in the realm of Ir Miklat? Well, so listen to this. Because the Rebbe say Ruvein was the one who first tried to save Yosef. Since Ruvein tried to save Yosef from the brothers, therefore, again, when it comes to the Ari Miklat, Rebbe say whose job is to save the accidental killer, the cities in Ruvain's portion are mentioned first. Darash Rabbi Smaloi, Mai Dichsiv, Az Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Arim Be'iv HaYardin Mizrach HaShemesh, that then Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead and separated three cities in the Transjordanian lands. Amrullah HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi said, what the Gemara is asking over here is, why does the Pasuk use Lashon of Mizrach HaShemesh? Could you just said Mizrach, why Mizrach HaShemesh? Amrullah HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Hazrech Shemesh LeRotzchim. Moshe literally again caused the sun to rise for the Rotzchim. In other words, take care of them. Just like the sun provides light, provides illumination, lights the way, so too Moshe Rabbeinu provide the infrastructure to save the accidental killers. Ikadamri, others say, Amarlei, Hizrach to Shemesh the Rotzchim. Others say that Kadosh Baruch Hu was giving Moshe a Shkoyach. Shkoyach, you have already illuminated the way for the accidental killers. Now, you've already taken precautions to take care of those who would commit this accidental act. Rabbi says, an incredible Gemara. Darush Rabbi Simai. Rabbi Simai says, Mai dechsev oiv kesef lo yisba kesef umi oiv bamon lo tivua. So we'll say, so the first part of the pasuk reads well, the second part is a little more difficult to understand. Literally, oiv kesef lo yisba kesef, he who loves money will never be satisfied with the money he has. Which we'll say, we've seen this concept before, that if I love money, if I love it, then I'll never have enough. Because again, if I like it, I can have enough. But if I love it, I'll never have enough. So we'll just translate the second phrase, Umi ohev bahamon, and he who loves the multitudes or the masses, lo tivua. Now, both sides, we're going to see that we're not going to really learn this as lo, as no, but rather, again, we're going to learn it as lamed vav, the ones that should. Lo, his, to him, is the tivua. To him is the grain. Now, what does this mean? So the Gemara says, "Oiv kesef lo yispa kesef." Let's say, what does it mean? He who loves, now the Gemara is dashing it as not as money, but as silver. He who loves silver will never be satisfied by the silver. Zem Moshe Rabbeinu. This refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shehayu yodea she'in shalosh arim shebe'ir ha'yardin koltos. Achlan nifcheru shalosh be'aretz Kenan. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the three cities that he was designating in the Transjordanian area would in fact not take effect until Yoshua would go ahead and designate the three cities in Eretz Yisrael. Yet what? He still did it. V'amar, mitzvah sheba liyadi akaimena. We'll say ultimately again, Moshe Rabbeinu said, if I have an opportunity to do something, even though it's not going to be complete, now I'm going to take advantage of it. We'll say, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Oiv kesef. We'll say, if somebody loves silver, in this case he's referring to the silver of mitzvos. Person loves the precious value of Torah and mitzvos Lo yisba kesef. He never gets enough. He always wants more. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu did not have to designate these cities. They don't even take effect until later on, but he loved Torah. He loved mitzvot so much that he grabbed every single opportunity. Umiyohev b'amo lo tevua. How do we dash in that phrase? Lemi no'e lelamid b'amon. People say, who is fit to teach Torah in the masses? Mi shekol tevua shalo. Only he who owns all of the grain. I'm both saying in this context, the grain is a reference to Torah knowledge. Don't teach Torah to the masses unless, of course, you have the tevua. Unless, of course, a person has the knowledge to do so. Behind the Rabbi Lazar, my dichsiv. What's the meaning of the pasuk? Mi yemalo gevuras Hashem yashmiya kol tehilaso. Lemi noa lelamed or lemalo gevuras Hashem. To whom is it fit, or for whom is it fit to articulate all of the praises or the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he says, Mishiachol Hashmiya kol tehilaso. Someone who is able ultimately again to enumerate or articulate all of the praises. In other words, we'll say that if a person is going to teach Torah to the masses, a person has to be qualified to do so. So the Gemara is teaching us, so again we'll say, but focusing more on the first part of this drasha, Oev Kesef Lo Yispa Kesef. We've all heard that terminology before, but often we've heard it as a little bit of a musr about how we relate to materialism. If I love materialism, if I love it, if it's the thrust of my existence, I will never be satisfied. The Gemara over here is dashing it in a dramatically different way, that it's a good thing. Oev kesef. Kesef, a reference to Torah and mitzvot. See who loves precious things. Torah and mitzvot, the goal is if you love it, you'll never get enough of it. And if you can never get enough of it, we'll say that's the ultimate motivation and catalyst to keep doing more. So beautiful. First, the Gemara says, V'rabana v'itim v'rabar mari amar, mi ohev ba'amon, lo tevua. Well, so what does this mean? Kala ohev ba'amon, lo tevua. Anyone who loves to teach the masses, ultimately, again, will be given the knowledge. We'll say, so this is a little bit of a different drasha. In the first version of the drasha, it was mi ohev ba'amon, lo tevua. He who wants to go ahead and teach the masses has to have knowledge. In the second drasha, we'll say, is he who wants to influence the masses will be given the necessary gifts by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She wants to hear the power of this drasha. If a person says, Ribono Shel Olam, I want to serve your people. I want to serve Klal Yisrael. I want to do something beautiful for my nation. I want to somehow lift up Klal Yisrael. Mi ohev lo ba'amon, he who loves the masses and wants to help, lo tevua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him the tools necessary to do so. Incredible. I will say ultimately when they were having this discussion, so the rabbis were sitting together in a group and they all cast their eyes towards Rava, the son of Rabba. Ravashi Amar, Kala Ohev Lilmod Bahamon, Lo Tevua. Whoever loves to teach the masses, right, or I should say differently, whoever loves to learn together with a group, lo tevua, he will be given all of the knowledge. There should be a sword on the necks of those who hate Tamidei Chachamim. What does it mean, those who hate Tamidei Chachamim? Shiyoshin v'oskin b'torah bad bebad. We'll say the worst thing a person could do is to learn alone. We'll say, what's the challenge with learning alone? See, if you learn with a chavrusa, see if he says something that's not true, he says something silly, you have someone else there to help you go ahead and get back on track. But if a person learns alone, then what? If they're mistaken, they just simply reinforce that mistake over and over and over, and there's no one to stop them. V'lo od, ela shematapshim. But say sometimes if a person only learns alone, they could become foolish. K'siv hacha, it says over here, v'no alu. O k'siv hasam asher no alnu. V'lo od, ela shechotin. But say sometimes as a result of this erroneous knowledge, ultimately, again, they make traumatic mistakes. Shneemar v'asher chatanu v'iboy semehacha. What's the other possibilities from here? No alu sharit soan. Ravina amar kala oiv lelami bamon lo tevua. What's this? Ravina says, whoever he who loves to go ahead and teach Torah to the masses will be given the tevua. We'll say in this case the grain refers either to knowledge or spiritual gifts. V'haylon da'amar, we'll listen to this. V'haylon da'amar Rabbi harbei Torah l'marati mirabosai. We'll say, Rabbi says something so beautiful. I learned so much Torah from my teachers. U'mechavei ra'yosimeim, I learned even more from my chavrusas, even more from my friends. U'mitamidai yosimei kulon, but I learned most ultimately again from my students. We'll say a very profound statement. I learned a lot from my rebbeim, even more from my chavrusas, from my friends, but I learned the most ultimately again from my students. This idea was like that when you learn Torah in a group, or when you teach Torah to a group, ultimately again it is the Rebbe who is ultimately enriched from the experience. I'm Rabbi Shlomo Levi, Ma'idich Siv. What does it mean when the pasuk says our feet were standing in your gate, Yerushalayim? Ultimately, again, what is it that allowed us to be successful in war, in the wars of life? Sha'ar Yerushalayim. It ultimately, again, was the gates of Yerushalayim. Shahayu oskin batorah. We'll say this is the idea of Kimitzion Teitzei Torah. The idea ultimately that it is the Torah that is learned in Yerushalayim, we'll say, which allows Klal Yisrael to be successful on many different levels. From Rabbi Shlomo Ben Levi, my dechsev was actually very beautiful. Shira Malos LeDavid, Samachti BaOmrim Li Beis Hashem Nelech. Well, so let's do this beautiful, beautiful Gemara. What does it mean? Again, Shira Malos, a song of ascents to David. Samachti, I rejoiced. When they said to me, Ba'omrim li, Beis Hashem Nech, let's go to the house of God. Abbas, listen to this Gemara. Amr David HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Shemati B'nei Adam, Sheyo Omrim Masa Yamos Zakin Zeh. Abbas, listen to this. David HaMelech says, Ribono Shel Olam, I overheard a conversation. I overheard people talking. And what were they saying? When is this old man going to die? Abbas, say now, the old man is a reference to David HaMelech. So I overheard people saying, when is this old man going to die? The Yavo Shlomo Beno, the Yivne Beis HaBechira. We'll say everyone knew that David was not going to build the Beis HaMikdash. So he heard murmurings that the people were saying, when is the old man going to die? So that Shlomo could take over and he could build the Beis HaMikdash. The Na'ala L'Regel. So we could go and we could be all L'Regel. V'samachti. And David HaMelech says, I rejoiced, right? Samachti ba'omrim li, when they said about me, Beis Hashem Nelech, I rejoiced when I heard the Jews complaining. When is the old man going to die? So we can go ahead and build the Beis HaMikdash and be ole regel. Beisach Shavuah Sukkis. And so what David HaMelech will say, ultimately, he's saying, Bono Shalom, if you want to take me now, I'm good. If you want, meaning, let's move this along, you know, so to speak. You know, I'm ready. I did what I needed to do. Bring Shlomo on the scene. Let's build the Beis HaMikdash. So what happens? We'll say, listen to this. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll say, this is a very, very, very dramatic exchange. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Ki tov yom bechatzeirecha me'elef. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David HaMelech, one day of you in my courtyard or in your courtyard is better for me than 1,000. What does that mean? Tov li yom echad sha to osik b'torah lefanai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David HaMelech, one day of your life in this world, of you engaging in Torah, is better for me, is more important to me. Me'elef olos sha'asid shlomo bincha lahakir lefanai agabe ha-mizbeach. One day of your life, David HaMelech, one day of your meaningful existence is worth more to me than the thousands of kabbalos that will be brought in the Beis HaMikdash that your son Shlomo is going to build. We'll say, if you remember again, we had a very similar exchange like this in Maseches Shabbos. Just the Maseches Shabbos is a little bit different. David HaMelech asked, when am I going to die? Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, remember Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him? Shabbos. David HaMelech says, I don't want to die on Shabbos. Let me die on a Sunday. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you can't die on Sunday. Why? By the time Sunday comes along, it's already the time for the reign, for the monarchy of your son Shlomo, and one monarchy cannot overlap with another monarchy, even just a hair's breadth. So what does David say? Fine, Ribono Shel Olam, take me on Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, I'll die on Erev Shabbos. Which Kadosh Baruch Hu says, same thing. Ki tov yom bechatzeirecha me'elef. One day of your life in this world, Rabbi Osei, is more important. David Kadosh Baruch Hu says, David HaMelech, is more important to me than the hundreds of thousands of kabbalos that they're going to bring in the Beis HaMikdash. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do. Rabbi Osei, we yearn for the Beis HaMikdash each and every day. Each and every day. Our heart breaks for the Beis HaMikdash each and every day. Rabbi Osei, do you know what's even more impactful than the Beis HaMikdash? When a Jew maximizes his time. When a Jew maximizes his time, when a Jew utilizes his moments, when a Jew learns Torah, when a Jew does mitzvos, when a Jew does acts of chesed, we'll say, if I put my head down on the pillow at night, and I know that I maximized my day, I didn't waste my time, I didn't get caught up in the things that all of us get caught up in every single day, that our mamash just bittles man on every single level, but I maximize my time, I maximize my Torah, I maximize my mitzvos, we'll say, that's even greater than Binyan Beis HaMikdash. One day of your Torah in this world is greater to me than all of the thousands of Karbanos. And incredibly so, we'll say, just, I'll tell you, we don't have time for it. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, has a beautiful, beautiful essay on this piece, on this Gemara, where he speaks about American society and he calls it, you know, the 401k society. It's actually a very profound piece where he discusses this idea that sometimes our lives become all about retirement, right? Everything is about how much I'm going to have when I'm 65, right? And people do all kinds of things, right? But it's all about, it's all, I don't know if Yaakov is here. I know this is a good thing to financial plan. I want to be clear, right? But his point was that at the end of the day, of course a person should plan. But he says sometimes we become so future focused that we forget to maximize the present, that we forget about the power of the day. It's not just about what you're going to retire on. It's not just about what's going to happen when you're older. What about all of the days in between now and 65? What about all of these days now and retire? An incredibly important. And again, he bases it all on this Gemara. Chelosh Baruch Hu says, Ki tov yom echad. What's an incredible yisod about the power of the day? Weiter. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov Omer. We'll say Amud Beis. Miklat Hayakasa Pashas Drachim. We'll say back to a little bit here, Miklat. So they used to write Miklat, they used to write the word Miklat, refuge. There were signs. There were signs literally at every intersection as to which direction to the closest Miklat. Hayakasa Pashas Drachim. Kedeshi Yakir Harotseach Viyifne Lasham. Right, to both say, by the way, you see this in Eretz Yisrael now today also. Everywhere you go, there are always signs for the miklat. Of course, miklat means something a little bit different now in contemporaries, but we'll say it's certainly reminiscent. Again, in biblical Israel, every crossroads you went to always had a sign pointing you in the direction of the nearest your miklat. What's the pasuk? Prepare for yourself the way. Prepare the road so that somebody is running towards. We'll say the idea over here is we never want someone losing time looking for an ir miklat. We want to make sure that if they need it, they could immediately find it. This is actually quite amazing. The Gemara is going to darshan over here that each of these rabbanim, it's actually very interesting, each of these rabbanim, whenever they would be giving a shir, they'd always open up the shir with a little bit of agarata. They always open up a shir with some agarata. It makes sense, because people love agarata. So if you start a halacha shir with halacha, then a clinical test have shown that what's going to happen, right? 98% of the population is going to be in a deep state of prophecy that might look like sleep, but it's really, right? It's really nevuah within like 4 minutes. But if you start with agarata and you draw people in, then they have a greater possibility of paying attention. So I will say when Rav Chama would begin the shir on your miklat, he would begin the following. Tov yasha Hashem al ken yorel chatam baderach. Literally, the pasuk says, Tov yasha Hashem, God is good and upright. Therefore, he shows the sinners the way. And Rav Chama used to say, Chosh Baruch Hu shows even the sinner the way. What's that? This idea is that, remember, as we've clearly seen, the person who killed B'shogi Abosei is not totally innocent. There is a certain level of culpability. In fact, Chosh Baruch Hu shows the sinner the way by putting sign of miklat in every direction. When Reish Lakish was giving a shir on your miklat, he would open up with the following homiletic teaching. Vasher lo tzada, ve'alokimin al yado. Right? Literally, Bosei, when the Torah describes the accidental killer, it says, Vasher lo tzada, Bosei, he did not intentionally mean to kill this person. Ve'alokim ina liyado. God shifted his hand. Kash, so Bosei, what does this mean? Kasher yomar mashal kadmonin. So Reish Lakish used to say, this is like the earlier Mashon they used to say, Merisham Yatzei Rasha, that from the wicked, wicked things happen. So Reish Lakish used to say, let me illustrate this to you with a story. Vishnei b'nei Adam Shahargu, Shahargu as HaNefesh. We'll say, Ruven and Shimon, both of them killed someone. Echad Harag B'Shogeg, Ruven killed B'Shogeg, Ve'echad Harag B'Mezid, Shimon killed B'Mezid. Now they both killed other people. L'ze'ein Edim L'ze'ein Edim. And we'll say, there are no witnesses to either of their acts. So what happens? Akadosh Baruch Hu mazmina lepondok echad. Akadosh Baruch Hu brings both Reuven and Shimon to one inn. So the Gemara says, Zesh harag b'meizi, yoshev tachas asulam. Zesh harag b'shogeg yorei b'sulam. V'nafa alav v'hargo. So we'll say, what happens? Reuven, he killed b'shogeg, is climbing the ladder. Shimon, who killed b'meizi, is sitting underneath the ladder. And as Reuven is walking down the ladder, what happens? He falls off and he kills Shimon. We'll say, divine justice. Zesh harag b'mezid nerag. So Shimon, who killed intentionally, is now dead. Vizesh harag b'shogi golem. And Reuven, who killed unintentionally the first time, and now killed the second time unintentionally. But I will say this time there's what? This time there are Edim, and therefore he'll go to Golos. Amar Rabba Barafuna, Amar Rafuna. Formerly Amar Rafuna, Amar Rafuna. So Minatora, or Minanavi, or Minaksuvim. Bederech sha'adam rotze leilech bamolichin oso. Bose, so listen to this. Rafuna said the name of Rabbi Lazar. We have a principle of Bederech sha'adam rotze leilech bamolichin oso. Bose, Kadosh Baruch Hu does not tell me what to do in life. I mean, he gives me mitzos, but he does not force me to do anything I don't want to do. So I say, how do we know the principle that God helps me on whatever path I want to take? So once I decide on a path, Kadosh Baruch Hu will help me along that path. I will say that's why making the right decisions in life is so important, and choosing the right path is so important, because Kadosh Baruch Hu is just going to aid, he's just going to help me go down whatever path I choose. So where do I know this principle from? Well, it's a very profound yisod. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I need you to make the right decisions, and then once you make the right decisions, I'll help you in that decision. Nebuch, if you make the wrong decisions, I'll help you with that as well. So choose wisely. So where do we know this? From the Torah, Tiksiv, Lo Selich Machar. We'll say, so in the Torah, we learn from the story of Bilam. Because originally, Bilam says to God, should I go and curse Klal Yisrael? And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't go. And we'll say, then what happens? Bilam says, can I go? Can I go? Can I go? Can I go? And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, fine. Kum Lechi, go. 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 No, go. God, again, this is not a paternalistic type of relationship, but God's going to tell me what I have to do. God is going to try to guide me. God is going to try to go ahead and give me the right direction. But if at the end of the day, I choose to go in a different direction, fine, go. So let's say ultimately, again, from the Nevi'im, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk. Close to the passage from Yeshayo, that ultimately, I am Hashem, Melam Decha Elohim Machichech B'derech Teilech. I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu who teaches you, and I will help you to go on the path ultimately again that you choose. Min HaKsuvim D'Chziv, Em Leleitzim Hu Yalitz, Ula'anavim Yitein Chein. To the scoffers, he will scoff, and to the humble, he will give favor. This idea is whichever path you choose, to be humble or to be a scoffer, God will help you. Listen to this case. If the Rotzeach, if the accidental killer, was on his way to the Ir Miklat, and who does he happen to bump into? None other than the Goal Hadam, and the Goal Hadam kills him right there. The Goal Hadam is Pater. We'll say there is no liability for the Goal Hadam killing him. We'll say now the novelty over here is that what? I might have thought that once the accidental killer is on his way to the Ir Miklat, so perhaps again he's already protected by the Ir Miklat. No, you're only protected by the Ir Miklat when you're there. But if you're on your way there and the Goal Adam meets you, he has the right, he has the halachic license to kill you. Kasavar velo ein mishpat mabes, because he assumes that when the pasuk says he does not have a death sentence. The Goal Hadam whom the Udichsib. Both say that phrase is talking about the Goal Hadam. Umeis say, is that true? Veloy mishpat maves. He doesn't have a death penalty. But Otseach HaKasim Medaber. That phrase that both say is referring to. It's referring to the actual killer. To the actual accidental killer. Atzul Gemara says, Atzul Omer Bar Otseach O Ein El Begoal Adam. So maybe you want to suggest that it's referring to the Goal Hadam. Kishu Omer Fahulo Sonei Lo Mishmo Shul Shom. Because listen, the pasuk says that he did not hate him before; he was not a sone. That's the reference to the rotzeach. Kasa medaber. The amar ki haytano disanya v'lo im mishpat maves begol adam kasa medaber. We'll say he holds like the following tano that we learned in the brayso. When the pasuk says v'lo im mishpat maves, he's not liable to death. That's referring to the gol adam. Ator begol adam kasa medaber. Ina ele berotzeach. You're saying it refers to the gol adam, but maybe you refers to the rotzeach. Kishu omer. Kilo sonehu mitmo shoshom hari rotzeach amar hamani makay v'loy mishmat mishmat maves begol adam kosum adaber. We'll say ultimately again the pasuk teaches me that if the gol adam does in fact catch up with the accidental killer and he kills him, the gol adam will say has no culpability for that act of bloodshed. It's not. What's we learned in the Mishnah? Most from those shnei tamidi chachamim. As the accidental killer is being taken to the Ir Miklat, we give him two Talmidei Chachamim to accompany him there. So the Gemara says, V'idabrei lav, and the assumption is that what? That they can speak on his behalf to the Goal Adam. What does it mean they're going to speak on his behalf? My love, Dimasrube, Dikotl Bar Kotlu. We both say, is it not to tell the Goal Adam, listen, Goal Adam, if you kill this accidental killer, we're giving you warning that if you kill him, you're going to be killed. So the Gemara says, lo, K'disanya V'idabrei lav, Dvarim Haru'uyim Bo. Rabosei, no. In fact, what they tell the Gol Adam Rabosei is something else. What do they tell the Gol Adam? Omrim lo, al tinog bo minog shofchei damin. Rabosei, I say this to the Gol Adam, don't do this. Don't do this. This is not appropriate behavior. Even though you have the halach, Rabosei, your klal gadol in life, just because you have the right to do something does not mean that it is right to do it. So even though the Gol Adam has the halachic right to go ahead and kill the accidental killer, the Talmidei Chacham tell him it's not the right thing to do. It's not the right behavior. Bishkaga ba maisli yado. What the accidental killer did, he did b'shogeg. Rabbi Meir says that the accidental killer could even speak on his own behalf. Shneemar v'zed dvar harotseach. Amru lo harbe shlichos osa. So they said to him, even though the accidental killer can't speak on his own behalf, the Talmidei Chachamim could do a lot more on his behalf than he could do for us. In other words, we'll say that if the goal over here is to calm down the Gol Hadam, the best bet might be what? For the accidental killer not to say anything. He might be better off keeping quiet and allowing the Talmidei Chachamim to do the talking on his behalf. Amar Mar, Bishag Mar says, Amar Mar, Bishkaga Bamais Liyados. So Pshita, the Iba Mazid Bar Galusu. So we'll say it's obvious. Obviously, because if he killed intentionally, would he be going to Galus? In Vaha Ritanya, in Vatanya, Rabbi Yosri Hudom, Betchila, Echad Shogig, Echad Mazid, Matimala Ari Miklat, Ubezin Sholchinum of being Osa Misham, Mishin is Chaim Misar Galus. So we'll say, yes, even, remember what we learned in Mishnah. In Mishnah, we learned both said that in the beginning, everyone went to the Ir Miklat. If you killed someone, your first place you ran to was the Ir Miklat. Then what happened? Bezin would then go and send for the perpetrator. And what would happen? They would say, Mishin is Chai Misago. If he did it intentionally, it was Chai Misa, they would kill him. Shnei Mar, Vashach was Iknia, Evelachu also Misham, Vinasna Biad Gol Adam, Umeis, Mishlon is Chayiv. They would say, ultimately, again, if somebody wasn't Chayiv Misa, Patrua, they would exempt him. Shnei Mar, Vitzilo is Haydas Razi, Amiad Gol Adam, Mishin is Chayiv Golos, and if somebody was Chayiv Golos, Machzirin also them Komo. They would return back to the Ir Miklat, Shnei Mar, the Shivu Osa, Ida Ir Miklat, Vashana Shama. Rabbi Omer, May Atzman Hin Golan. Rebbe said, ultimately, again, people, after they committed an act of bloodshed, would usually automatically run to the Ir Miklat. It's interesting just from a historical perspective. If somebody accidentally killed someone, usually the first place they ran to was where? Was the Ir Miklat. Why? Kisvurin hein, echad shogeg ve'echad mezid koltos. Ve'hein einan yodin shebeshogeg koltos ve'mezid and koltos. We'll say sometimes people had a misunderstanding of the Ir Miklat. And they thought that the Ir Miklat was like your get out of jail free card. It's like home base. If you're in the Ir Miklat, you're scot free, you're all right. But what they didn't realize is Ir Miklat only works for who? Accidental killers, doesn't work for intentional killers. The Gemara goes right. We'll say now come to an interesting halacha. Amar Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar says the following. Ir Sheruba Rotzchim Einar Koltos. We'll say this is an interesting thing. If you have a city, an Ir Miklat, just the way it works is that the majority of the residents are murderers. It's in general not a good thing to live in a place like this. I think we kind of do live in a place. So again, if you have a city where the majority of people are murderers, Einon Koltos, then again, the city essentially loses its Ir Miklat designation. Shene Emar, V'diver ba'ozne ziknea ir ha'i, es devarov. So also listen to this, because again, when it speaks at Ir Miklat, the Torah says, and he shall go ahead, he being the accidental murderer, shall speak into the ears of the elders of the city his words. In other words, I will say the idea is that he's the outlier, he's the minority, he's the accidental killer, and he tells the elders of the city about his circumstances. And I will say not that his situation is the same as their situation. In other words, if everybody's in the same boat, this is no longer an Ir Miklat. Or if the majority of the city is in the same boat, the idea is the murderers in the city have to be, which is interesting. In an Ir Miklat, the murderers have to be the minority of the residents of the city. If they are the majority, then the city loses its designation as an Ir Miklat. V'amr v'lazer, Ir Shein Bazakenim. Similarly, again, a city which does not have elders cannot work as an Ir Miklat. ultimately, again, because in Pasuk says you have to speak to the Zikni Ha'ir, and if there are no elders, ultimately, again, the city is not a Ir Mikvah. So obviously, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up with the Itamar tomorrow, again, some more of the technicalities and details of the Ir Mikvah. And also, we have some more beautiful Agarata tomorrow as well.
You say the murderers, you mean the ones who did the Bishkaga, right? The Shogay.
Correct.